Even though we started learning a sugya with Pesachim, I think we clearly realize that this is really a Shas topic, Kolta Kula topic, which touches upon the issues of Rov and Miut, and how much we're required to ascertain and glean information when we're able to get so. And we really saw a fundamental approach that was taken, I guess what we call it conventional wisdom, that was first presented by the Ramban, then picked up by the Ran, and has become pretty much the regular approach to this entire sugya. And that is the notion that even though there is a principle of Rov, I mean, a Torah clearly, Haram Lahatos, you're allowed to follow Rov. Nevertheless, there exist certain times in Halacha where if one can try to ascertain what's going on, so one is really supposed to try to do so. One is supposed to try to be a Mevarer. At what point do we say that a person is obligated to be Mevarer if able to do so? Here there seems to be a split between different kinds of miut. There's a miut ha-matsui and a miut she-na-matsui. There's a miut that is significant. We're going to put that number at 10%. That's the number that the Mishkan Yaakov gives. If there's a 10% chance that you have a problem, then you have to try to be mevar. If it's less than that, so then you don't even have to be mevar l'chadchila. And that was the basic structure for the entire sugya. The sugya here in terms of when you have to ask the maskil whether he did with his chametz. This was the basic reason why you have to check and ask the what he was doing when he shechted. This is the reason why you have to check for trephus in the ray on the lungs, all for the same reason, because these fall into the category of amiut ha-motzoi. Nevertheless, we also saw at the end of the shiur yesterday that the Ritva in our sugya said that even though that basic format is correct, those three examples are not all necessarily true. Just because some of them require checking doesn't necessarily mean they all require checking, because it could be that the numbers are not equal. It could be that sometimes there's a miut ha-matzoi and sometimes there's a miut she-na-matzoi. And we saw in the Shehadid Shehi yesterday that the Ritva, at least the Maseches Pesachim, had the phrase, Ein kol ha-chazak ha-shavos, which is really another way of saying, Ein kol ha-miutim shavim. And our sugim Pesachim, that's a miut ha-matzoi, so you have to ask the masker. When it comes to checking trephus in the lungs is a miut ha-matzoi, you have to check. When it comes to asking the Shaykhate, so it's possible that that's not even a Miut HaMotzoi. It means there's such an overwhelming majority of Shochtim know what they're doing. It is so unlikely that somebody picked up a knife and tried to shech just as an amateur. Therefore, that doesn't even enter into the realm of Miut HaMotzoi. So that Ritva in our Sugya was not a conceptual difference. It was just a technicality. Namely, not all roles are the same in terms of statistics, in terms of numbers, but the basic structure, the sugya, the basic lumdus is the same. Mira motzi, yes, shek, mir shenamari, not shek. Then, of course, we spent some time yesterday and on Friday about even within this category of mira motzi, is the requirement to check a dim in a Torah. That was the Chiddush and the Mishkas Yaakov. And then we saw the Meshech Chochma's disagreement that the whole thing is only on the level of Darabon. That was already a technical part of the sugya. But the basic structure of the sugya remains intact, at least until this point. But now, at the very end of the shiur yesterday, we saw the Ritva in Maseches Chulin, where the Ritva Maseches Chulin seems to take issue with everything that we've just said. So let's take a look again at the ninth of the Mamakamos, where the Ritva tells us about Rabbeinu Mori Harozal Neit L'Divik Tzasach Mardimzal. The Afle She'enan Mumchil L'Chashir En Klal, Afil Hechad Yisekamon. The Ra'ah felt that the view that you don't have to ask, you don't have to investigate the shochet after shechita, was the more correct view. Taking issue with the Rif, taking issue with his own Rebbe, the Ramban, the Ra'ah says there's no need really to ask. Why is that? Became the Roman Tzuri after shechita mumchim, because the mice you have a rove. Now, if the Ra'ah and the Ritva would have said here that you have a rove and it's not even a mira motzoi, and don't worry about it, and they would have said, like the Ritva said in Maseches Pesachim, I would have said, good. The Ritva Pesachim is following his Rebbe, they're on cool, and everything's good. But that's not what he says. The Ra'ah says the following reason. Why is it that you don't have to ask the Shaykhate? But then Torah hu l'alecha sacharov. It's the Pasuk B'chol Shechram Ha'ap. Because since the halacha is that you're allowed to follow Rov, so I feel l'chad chila. When the Torah gives us a deal of Achram Ha'atos, it's even l'chad chila. And therefore, in a very emphatic phrase, Shuv ein lanu lachash leklum, says the Ritva, says the Ra'ah, there is nothing to worry about. Zero. You don't have to look for miyutz. The Ra'oi here does not say it's a miyut. Ein lanu lochosh klal. Ein lanu lochosh klum. Din teira fila ra'o fila chadchima. You would get the impression from this version of the Ra'oi that he's disagreeing with what the Ritva said in Maseches Pesachim. In Pesachim, the Talmidim are quoting from the Ritva. Also, all Talmidim quote the Rebbe. In Pesachim, the Talmidim are quoting their Rebbe, the Ritva. In Chulin, the Ritva is quoting his Rebbe. There are somewhere in the three generations, there seems to be a little bit of a slight nuanced difference as to what the transmission, what the original statement was. Is the approach that fundamentally there is a requirement to check for Mira Motzois? It's just that the Shechita case is not even a Mira Motzois. That's what the Ritva in Pesachim said. But do I say, no, there's no requirement to check for any meal, even a Mira Motzois. If one takes that approach of the Ritva in Chulin or on Chulin, that everything we've said for the last 3 days is just not right. There never was, never is, never will be a chiyuv to check, even with a chiyuv mira motzoi. So we have to stop and scratch our head and ask ourselves, wait a second. Doesn't our Gemara say that you have to check? Didn't the Gemara in Pesachim? Why are we learning this? We're not learning Chulin, we're learning Pesachim this year. Last year was Chulin Yeshiva. So now we're learning Pesachim. Doesn't the Gemara say, Lamayin Af Kamina L'Shayla? Didn't the Gemara say, how could you tipple about whether there's a rove that the person did the biggest chavetz at the right time, just ask him. That was the source of our entire sugya. What do you mean, just ask him? I don't want to ask him. Says, but just ask him. He says, no, he's not around. But if he would be around, then you have to ask him. Isn't it munach, isn't it obvious within that line of the Gemara, within the Shachatai of the Gemara, that lechatchila, you have to be mevarer, even though you have a rov. So if you want to tell me that shechit is not a rov, you want to tell me this is not a rov, this is not a miyad, you want to tell whatever you want to tell, fine. But to deny the entire existence of this halacha, isn't that overkill? To say there's no chiyuv, never was, never will be an obligation to mevarer rove under any circumstances. So what do you do with our Gemara? That's question number one against this Ritva in Chul in the name of his Rebbe Dera. Question number two is, did the Ritva there on Chul really believe there's no requirement to check for Bidamotzah? Not at all. Not Minatoru, not Bidravanan. Did the Ra'ah shecht animals and not open up lungs? You're not mechuyav to check for trepes in the Re'ah? Isn't that obvious? Doesn't everybody know? Isn't that the favorite in Chazal? We have to check lungs for trepes? Why? There's a rogue and there are no trepes in the lungs. Everybody knows that there are 85% chance there's no problem in the lungs. So the Ramban and the Ra'ah told us the reason we have to check for lungs is because of Mira Motzui. That's fine if you accept the principle of Mira Motzui. But if you go down the root of the Ritva and the Ra'ah and Chulin, that there is no such thing as Bina Motzi. There's no such Chumra. We made up the Chumra of Bina Motzi. There's no such din. Never was, never is. Then what are you checking? What are you checking Treifas for? So we have really three different Shitas that are emanating now from our Sugya. We have what we call conventional wisdom, the Ramban and the Ran. Let's say that there are three Sugyas that require checks for Bina Motzi. One is Psochen. The second one is Shchita. And the third is Treifas. Then you had the Ritva in Tzachim that watered down a little bit and said, two out of three ain't bad. Chametz is a Mira Motzoi that requires to check. Treifas in the lungs is a Mira Motzoi that requires to check. Shchita is not even a Mira Motzoi. It's less. Okay, so you want to sit around and argue and do a statistical study as to what's the percent of amateurs trying to shecht. Okay, I'm not going to lose too much sleep over that. Some Rishonim will say one way, Rishonim, that's fine, I have no problem. But it's the third sheet in Rishonim that's very disturbing, and that's the Ritva and the Ra'ah and Chulin that are saying that, forget your studies. I don't care what your numbers are. 51% of Haramahatas. If you have a row of 51%, you're good to go. You don't have to check for Chametz, you don't have to check for Treifas, you don't have to check for Shechita, nothing. What do you mean you don't have to check for Chametz? What do you mean you don't have to ask the Masker? Didn't the Gemara say it was Shaila? What do you mean you don't have to check for Treifas? Does everybody know you have to check for Treifas in Olam? How do you defend the Ritva and the Ra'ah and Chulin against those two overwhelmingly difficult questions? So let's go back for a moment to our sugya, because it's always a good reminder of what we're Masechta Bavli. So let's go back to Pesachim, and let's read the Gemara really, really carefully and see what we extracted from the Gemara. And don't blame us. With the Ramban and the Ran, we don't blame them. With the Ramban and the Ran extracted, and see, did the Gemara really say what we've been claiming it said all along? So let's take a look back at the first of the Ramban Kodesh. What's the name of Nachum Yitzchak? The question was posed from Nachum Yitzchak. Hamaski ba'is lechaver ba'bosar. If I rent a house to my friend on the 14th day of Nisan, Can the seicher, can the renter assume that b'dikas chametz took place? Now we learned in the last sugya, b'dikas chametz should have taken place since there was mesiras and mafteach before. Since at the time of Leil Arbasar, the keys were still in the possession of the owner of the house, or the landlord of the house. He was supposed to do b'dikas chametz, but we don't know whether he did. So can we assume that he did or not? Can we say cheskos abadik and cheskos abadik? So the Gemara immediately jumps and says, "Lamayinafkiri, what's the difference? L'shailei, ask him." Which the Gemara said he's not around. So let's understand that question very, very, very carefully. What the Gemara's question? What was bothering the Gemara with that phrase? Because the entire sugya is hinging on that phrase. L'mayinafkiri and l'shailei. So the Ramban and the Ran and us have been learning what that question meant is as follows. What's the difference? Namely, even if we know that the rove is that he probably checked, we still have to be mevarer because, and the Ramban and the Ran, because you have to be mevarer when you have a mira motzli. That's a simple pshatik mar. L'maynaf gamina means what's the difference? No matter what you answer to that question, whether you think ein cheskos baduk, you have to ask him. Whether you think cheskos baduk, you have to ask him. Because even if Cheskos Baduk is nothing more than a fancy rove, there's a rove, actually Vari, you have to be Vari because it's a Miram Motzli. That's what we learn Shat in the Gemara. Comes to Bach and says, maybe we misread the entire Gemara. L'mayinaf Gemara L'shaila means as follows. You just posed the question whether it's Cheskos Baduk or Ein Cheskos Baduk. And you're about to embark upon a statistical study and a whole wonders, and you're going to try to psychoanalyze every masker and figure out yeh baduk, nish baduk. And you have no idea what your answer to that question is going to be. Says the Bach, says the Gemara, I'll save you some time. Don't waste your time trying to figure out what the facts are. It'll take you faster to ask the guy than to try to figure out whether you have to ask the guy or not. Just ask the guy. If it turns out that you really, truly believe Cheskos Baduk, then guess what? You don't have to ask him. There's no need to ask him. You know why? Says the Bach. The Gemara never said that if it's truly Cheskos Baduk, then you still have to ask. There's no such law in the Gemara. All the Gemara meant was that why bother wasting time? Why bother trying to psychoanalyze? Why try to figure out what the statistics are? It's so much easier. Just ask him. If Timtzalam, you do the study and you come to the conclusion that it's most probably Cheskos Baduk, then there's no need to ask him. So the Gemara never said L'mayna Fidel L'shaila means no matter how you poshate the Shaila, you have to ask him. But the Gemara meant is don't spend time trying to be poshate the Shaila. It's easier not to. Every once in a while, I get a shout from somebody. It's usually like an Erev Shabbos. I'm coming out of the shower already. And I always find those shilas as I'm, literally the shower's still going and the phone's ringing. I always think of Hillel, that poor Hillel, famous Gemara in the second break of Shabbos. He was in the bathhouse and the guy was hocking him with a shila and Erev Shabbos in the bathhouse. I said that the only difference is that the shepherd Hillel in the bathhouse and Erev Shabbos, you yourself have to walk over to Hillel, have to bang on the bathhouse. So the odd that someone's going to come and ask him a question on Erev Shabbos at the last minute is unlikely. Whereas today, what's the big deal? The guy picks up the phone and he calls you. So for him, it's a machet. He's walking around his town. But you got to get out of your town. You got to get dressed to go at the end of the shayla. So people ask shaylas always at the, sometimes people ask shaylas at the last minute. So every once in a while, a person will ask a shayla like in the last minute and in a rush or something. And I realize right away, it's not going to be like a 1 second answer. I realize that we have to be down in the shayla. I don't know if I'm, so sometimes I'll say to them, it will be faster for you to do such and such than to spend the time that we're about to spend, which we don't have, trying to answer the shayla. So that's exactly what the Gemara said here also. It'll be faster to give the guy a call and ask him, masker, landlord, did you do anything that's coming or not, than to try to psychoanalyze and figure out what the statistics are. But in terms of learning, we did the study and we put in the effort and we found out there's a rove, there's no need to check whatsoever. If that's the Pshat in the Gemara, then the Ravon are all good to go. There's no such Gemara. If I would have told you that Pshat in the Gemara last week, no one would have continued to come to Shia because that undermines the entire sugya. But again, we've been following conventionalism. Rabban and Ran, the Gemara really meant the Lamayin Nafkamina means even if you place it, that's Chaskas Avot, you still have to ask him. But it's not Mukhach in the Gemara per se. So the view of the Ritvan, they're all in Chul, they're still ten.
Rabbi, maybe the Nafkamina is how far do you have to go out of your way to find to ask him?
Well, so that was here. The Gemara says, no matter how you slice, no matter how you limshan the Gemara said that you don't have to go too far, because if the guy already went on his cruise and you can't find him, you don't have to go rent a boat to go find him. The Gemara says if he's around, it's easily available. Then you have to. It's like the tracheas and the lungs. If the lungs are here, you have to look. If the lungs get lost or something, so the ikra did is probably you don't have to check anymore. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Masechta Chulin that says that even though the halacha requires to check the lungs, that's the chetchila. Let's say the lungs were gone. It's an animal came and ran away with the lungs. The Rashi says, you don't have to check the lungs anymore. So then you can eat the animals. Perfectly okay. Because the whole din of checking the lungs, Rashi is like the Ramban and the Ran, is only b'toras al chetchila of echad efshel avar by mira motzoi. If you can't be mavar, you can't be mavar. If the lungs were stolen by an animal, that's the halacha equivalent of the maske being not available, not reachable anymore in Erev Pesach. And you're allowed to eat the animal chetchila. So Rashi has a fascinating comment. I don't know how often Rashi says this comment. Rashi writes this in the beginning of Chulin, when he finishes the sugya of the lungs. And then Rashi says, "Ein lefarsim hadavar." Don't tell people. Don't publicize it. Why? Rashi's afraid. What's going to happen psychologically? If you tell people that, oh, it's okay. If the lungs aren't around, you can eat the animal. What's going to happen? No one's going to bother checking the lungs. It's just you. That's like, you know, just that's the way it is. As we know in so many other areas of human psyche, is that when you give somebody a finger, they take a hand, halavai, usually they take a whole body. So sometimes you have to draw the line at a much much higher point. If you as we know sometimes in the Yoma, if you want to be 6 feet, sometimes you have to aim for a little higher. If you aim for 6 feet, you'll be 4 feet. You aim for 8 feet, then you have a fighting chance, maybe you'll be 6 feet. A kaina v'chaina in life. Anyway, back to the story. So we still have a problem, though, because according to the Ritvan Dera'ah in Chulin, we explained the way our Gemara in Tzachim, but are you going to tell me that the Ritvan Dera'ah didn't check lungs? Because according to that Lashon was, Ein lochosh klal, there's nothing to worry about. If there's nothing to worry about, not midatay, not midiravon, and even midamotzois, what are you checking lungs for? I'll tell you a secret, I could probably quote Rash Ein lefarsim hadavar on this one also. Although Rash didn't say it, I'm going to say it here. I'm not so sure that there are all holes you have to check lungs altogether, quite frankly. What was the source that you have to check lungs? Remember we spoke about this today. We first opened up the sugya. We said, oh, it's a milsa de pshita on the oath. Of course you have to check lungs. What's the shayla? I don't remember what the sources were. A couple of musa sources, a couple of agalita sources. I think about Beitza that said that the Gemara gives a lashon about the butchers are not acting appropriately. The trees of oil are going to give musa to the butchers. Remember that Moshe Gemara said that fruit, we wait 3 years to eat the fruit. That's going to give musa to the butchers who don't wait to check the lungs. A very, very agadic musa. That's like a mashkiach and yeshiva talking. That's not a place like talking. Then Rishon quoted a medrash that says that the Marisha was taken to task. The Marisha couldn't wait to eat. He lost his patience at the eighth of the eighth of Das, whereas we, Klal Yisrael, we check our lungs of our animals. There's no statement in Chazal, in the Gemara, in a halachic context, black and white, that says, there's no such statement. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not saying that we're gonna stop the project. We've been checking lungs for deridaris. But it's not so poshut. It's absolutely required in halacha. And it's quite possible that the Ritvan are of the opinion that it's chumrah, it's chassidus, it's sanhanga, it's actually zahiras. Is it really, truly a chiyuv to check for a miyata hamotzoi? Not necessarily. There is no absolute chiyuv whatsoever to check for a miyata hamotzoi, according to Twain to Samishen. So we have now almost three different opinions that emanates from this entire sugya in terms of what our approach is to the three sugyas. Sugya psochim, sugya about checking lungs, sugya about checking the shaykhet. So you have conventional wisdom of Rabban and Ran, Mira Mot says you must check either the Raisa, the Rabban, the Beri, the Mishkas Yaakov, and the Meshach Chochma. the almost like watered down version was the Ridvan Asugi that says that Mira Motzi, you have to check, but not all those three are necessarily Mira Motzi. Shechita probably parts ways with the other two. Then you have the Ridvan, they're all, and Chulin was saying a totally different approach, saying that you never have to check for Mira Motzi. Not the Raisa, not the Rabbana. Our Gemara doesn't exist. The Gemara never really said anything. The case of the Shechita, the Zon Gemara says you have to check. Yes, the Shechita was a Rif's innovation. And the fact that don't Chazal say explicitly you have to check for Treifas, no, there is no such din. I'm not saying the Ritzvah thereof didn't do it, but it's not an absolute din written in stone. They're not required, not Minotaur, not Midrabon. How do we pass in Halacha? It's generally assumed, like the Rov HaRishonim, that yes, there is such a requirement. Pashtus Midrabon, Mishas Yaakov disagreed, but Pashtus Midrabon, like Mishas Chokhmah, that there is such a requirement if and when you have a Mira Motzoi, you're really lechatchila not supposed to rely on Rov. If that's the case, so that has some very, very real enough community. But just give out one or two practical things that emanate from this figure. Poskim tell us, let's say I have a certain food in front of me, I have a certain vegetable, for example, in front of me, and I'm not 100% sure whether there are any bugs in this vegetable or not. Most probably not. Most of the time, this particular vegetable is not really infested. The room of the time it's not infested. But, truthfully, studies have been done and they've shown that there is, sometimes, there are problems in this particular vegetable. I don't really know. Does the halacha require me to check that vegetable? If I have a vegetable in front of me that's cheskoso, full of toloim, it's full of bugs, it's chazok, the odds are that it has more than 50% of this vegetable has bugs in it. I have to check. I risk eating bugs. And this is the right thing to eat a bug. So if I have a particular vegetable that rove the time has a bug in it, of course, I'm going to the rice and check. What's the shayla? But rove the time, it doesn't have a bug in it. So now the next question is, what are the numbers? So that gets tricky. So if 95% of the time this vegetable doesn't have a bug in it, and there's no reason to believe that the conditions on the ground, no pun intended, are any different than any other time, I don't have any reason to believe it's heavily infested now, the odds are that 95% of the chance is probably no bug in it at all. So then that's called the mir she'ena motzli. And a mir she'ena motzli, I'm not really obligated to check for. I don't have to look even at chil, it's a mir she'ena motzli. That would be the halach equivalent of not checking holes in stomachs and hearts. So just as nobody today runs around opening up brains and stomachs and hearts of animals, it's a mir she'ena motzli, not min ha'tor, not min d'rabbanan. So too, if I have vegetable X, but there's a 5% chance has a bug in it, not my problem. There's no chumra derais, no chumra derabbanan, not mochim to the environment, bichlal. That's if it's a mir she'ena motzli. What if it's not quite that? What if it's a mir she'ena motzli? What if it's true that the overly significant odds in your favor are there's probably no bug in this particular vegetable? But we have seen, we have shown that every once in a while there is, and every once in a while means now there's more than 10% chance. 1 out of 10 of these vegetables would have a bug in it. Now, although min haTorah, at least not according to Mishnah Yaakov, I can rely on Rove, mit the Rabbanan have to be Mevara. Now it's not so simple anymore. Now I'm a chur to Mevara. So I have to go ahead and Echdev Shalom I'm Mevara. I have to go and check to make sure that there's nothing here. So l'chora, the principles that govern bedikas taloim, checking for bugs in vegetables today, l'chora should be the regular rules that govern any other bedikas. The same rules that we use, the ABCs of Treifas. We check for lungs, we don't check for hearts. So we check vegetable X, we don't necessarily check vegetable Y. So if you have a vegetable that is an overwhelming odds, it's a carrot. When was the last time you saw a bug inside a carrot? Can I tell you that every single carrot since the days of my separation didn't have a bug inside it? Quick is a bug inside it. But it's all overwhelmingly a good chance you don't have a chance. Other kinds of vegetables, again, this is not a kasher shear right now, but let's say, for example, you have a vegetable like broccoli. So broccoli, I cannot say with a straight face there's never been bugs in the history of creation inside broccoli. There have been. So now you have to do some math, you have to do some homework and figure out what are the odds. Are the odds that it's a mira motzli? Are the odds that it's a mira she'ena motzli? If it's a mira motzli, you have to reckon with that. If it's a mira she'ena motzli, then you're good to go. So those facts have been, those halachas have been governing from those are the regular, the rice of the Rabbanan. Those are the rules. Mira motzvah and mira she'ena motzvah. What becomes very, very difficult, as you can imagine, is to try to put that into practice. Namely, what are the statistics? who is sitting around and doing statistical studies on broccoli and cauliflower and the Brussels sprouts. Some people do it all day. That's what they do for a living. They work in the Taloim sections of the Hashkoch organizations. So you have to get what the facts are. And then a very, very tricky question. If the magic number is 10%, 10% of what? I'm sitting down having a salad. 10% of bowls of salad have a bug in them. 10% of heads of lettuce have a bug in them. 10% of shipments of heads, of cases of lettuce. 10% of bites of lettuce. The numbers will be skewed significantly depending on 10% of what. How are you even measuring up 10%? So these are some of the Leibniz things that go into the Taloim industry. The entire practice that we have today of being weary and not eating certain vegetables unless they have reached the point of dipping beneath the mina matzoi. So again, this is a very, very hard issue. This is a very, very serious issue in kashrus. It's always been a serious issue in kashrus. But, you know, in Europe, people basically ate potatoes and carrots were not usually the most buggy vegetables. Today, people like all kind of lettuces and maisalach and all kind of salads. I always tell my kids ask them the same question on Pasha Soach every single year. At the Shabbos table, so I look at my plate and I say, there's a piece of chicken and a salad on the same plate. Name that pasuk. What pasuk in Pashas Noach are we fulfilling right now? Every year, it's the same question. So I'm here to get the right answer. The pasuk says in Noach that Nesat Lachem, the Bosar, Kiyarat Esev Nesat Lachem is called. I said that the Torah compares and says you can have salad and meat together. I said, Kodem, the Mabul, I can eat the salad. After the Mabul, I can eat the chicken together with the salad. That Rebbe Sashochai Lechemia Lechla, Kiyarak Esi Nisat Lechem is called. So when you have the piece of meat, we got the chicken, you have the piece of meat, so you have to check for the trephis. So you have to figure out, is it a mina motzi or not a mina motzi? When you have the salad, you have to figure out, is it a mina motzi or not a motzi? It's the same oneness, the same principles, and the principles of checking the bugs. Everything is hinging on tzachim. If you hold like the Ritvan, there are, that there never was a requirement of bedika, even for mina motzi, that would be pretty good for us. That would make life very easy for us. You don't really have to check trefus either, mikra did. So you wouldn't have to check anything as long as it's a rove. But again, conventional wisdom, we probably don't follow that. This impacts other areas of halacha, not just eating bugs and salad. It impacts other areas. Let's say, for example, shatnez. I have a suit. I want to know, do I have to assume there's a concern, maybe the shatnez in the suit? So what if I can get the following facts? What if I can be ascertained that this particular suit from this kind of fan, they've studied 1,000 suits, the same kinds of suits, and 5 times they found the shatnez out of 1,000 suits. Way beneath the point of a meal tamotzi, that's not nowhere near 10%. One could argue, if so, what do you have to check for? Achram lahatu, atar samchal arayiv. If it's a, why is that any more necessary than checking for holes in hearts, which the ma'aseh you don't have to do? But what if the numbers aren't so good? What if it's a meal tamotzi? What if more than 10% of these kinds of suits sometimes have problems in them? So then you entered into the realm of meal tamotzi. And then you would be required to check either the Rais or the Rabbanon. Actually, the Var, Chai, the Var. So we live these principles. Halacha. This sugya is not, it's a lot of longness in this sugya. A lot of nuance in the sugya in terms of longness, but this impacts on our lives. But it says inside our suits. So good. It should say something. Yeah, okay, Tif, just checking. Tineke, whatever it says in there. So what it says inside our suits is a direct result of the sugya that we're learning. We're going to sit down and eat for lunch today. Whether we're going to have a salad with romaine lettuce, bodek or not, is going to directly impact the things that we're learning here. All the lumbus amina motivation. There's one last part of the sugya. Sometimes when I say that phrase, one last part, it means like, oh, it'll take us like 5 minutes when we're done. It's one last part of the sugya that may take us another week or so. I can't tell you how many sure we're going to need in the next part. But it's a critical part of the sugya that is presented by the Ritvan Dera on the Sechas Chulin, part two of the Ritvan Dera, and it's going to impact certain parts of the things that we spoke about up till now, but it really opens up our eyes to some basic yesodos that go way beyond Pesachim, in terms of robes and meals and some of the other things that we've been talking about, and then some. Hopefully, that's a shame to see you. We're only up to my... number nine, that we have another 2.5 mamakomas. So those 2.5 mamakomas may take us quite some time, Yat Hashem. So we'll pick this up, hopefully, Yat Hashem, on time.